handle the heat. Yeah. You can and you can handle the heat. Yeah. Out of system, you can handle the heat.
Booyakasha! Welcome back to another episode of If You Can Handle the Heat. I'm joined by me main man, Joe Versley. Joe, how we doing?
I'm doing wonderful.
Micah, how we doing?
Solid.
You gotta do it in a French accent, Gage.
I don't know how to do accents. I don't know how to do accents.
I'll practice that for next show. Alright, let's get into the thick things. First things first, we decided to go into a series for our YouTube channel, and we will be doing unboxings, meaning all three of us are going to kind of go through what we get as for you guys as a pro player, for me as a college player, and what you kind of expect gear-wise and what other programs may get. Maybe we get other players to do it too. So be expecting that. That's coming on the way. And big news for Hawaii. We have gotten the green light. We are good to go. We have started, not training yet, but we have started lifting, which is a very big step for us because for now we haven't had to do any organized team thing, and we are in the weight room. Personally, I'm not. I'll explain later. But we are in the weight room Monday, Wednesday, Fridays, and we are getting to go. And I think hopefully 2 weeks from now we get to start practicing. There have been teams practicing for the last couple months, but we're getting back into it. Hawaii is starting to open up a little. And progress is progress. But for you two over there, you guys are getting the opposite treatment. You guys are getting the old Hawaii treatment. Germany is shutting down. France has the possibility of shutting down. First of all, Joe, explain the situation. What's going down? And then I want Micah to you go through yours.
Really quickly, the short and concise news report that just came out. Angela Merkel, I butchered her name. She's the German chancellor. Just came out and announced they're putting the country, there's a special term they use. Pretty much it's a lockdown though. We're going to see all social kind of events, any movie theaters, any restaurants, any place where you see the ability for groups of people to gather and get together, that is going to be shutting down for 30 days.
Now, Joe, you guys have a new arena, right? Am I wrong with that one?
Supposedly. So that's a funny thing. The town let our club come out and announce that we do have a new arena. But, of course, there's no funding. They're like, yeah, you can go announce it. We're giving you the new arena, but we're not announcing that we're going to be giving you any money for the arena. And our club is in no position to afford the arena. It's $1.2 million to use the arena this year.
And Oh my God.
The city has to pay for it. And because at our last arena, we didn't pay for anything, I was told. This is everything I was told. I'm pretty out of the loop on a lot of things, but this is just what I hear in the rumor mill. And we have to pay $1.2 million, and we need that funding from the city. And they're like, yeah, you can use the arena, but they haven't okayed the funds yet. So that's kind of – it's an interesting situation right now.
So with the new lockdown, I read that you guys are still able to practice, right? Or are you still able to play or what?
Yeah, we're still able to go. To be honest, I'm kind of concerned about that because – this is a really similar situation to where we were at last year. Like how things are being handled and being dealt with right now, it's really similar to where we were at last year where they ended up having to cancel the season. So I'm a little concerned, to be honest, about where things are going because everything else is shutting down and now we're just kind of waiting. For now, though, we are allowed to play just without fans.
So if let's say the worst happens. Let's say you guys get shut down. Would you come straight to Hawaii? What would you do?
I'd probably fly straight back to Hawaii. Yeah, I mean, but that's like extreme situations. I really hope that's not going to be the case, but you never know in today's world.
So, Micah, what about you? What's the situation over in France?
Yeah, just tonight the president announced that we're going into a lockdown too.
How long?
A month, but after 15 days. He's going to reassess and then, like, give another talk and see what we have to do. Okay. Like Joe said, like, bars, restaurants, all those things are closed. You can only go to work. And universities are closed, but school for, like, young kids is open. And then the league is meeting tonight or tomorrow to decide what we're going to do. Because we lift in like a different place. So for sure we can't lift. We might still be able to practice, but the president said that after this weekend, you aren't allowed to like move regions. So having games is going to be really hard unless it's like okay for you to move regions if you're working. But even then, it'd be a little bit weird for sports. So we don't really know yet.
You know, you know what's really interesting is I was talking to Eric Shoji about the Russian league, and he was saying that in the Russian league, they just if you can't show up for the match, you're automatically forfeit. So imagine that. All the home teams in France.
Oh, my God.
Imagine being the home team, automatic win because they can't get into your region.
Oh, my God, dude.
That's just brutal. So
yeah,
let's
that
say
is gnarly.
So worst case, worst scenario, same thing as Joe. Your season gets cut. What would you do?
I'd probably go back to Hawaii, actually. I really want to see my family. I really want to see my sister has a kid and is having another one. And I want to be there. See, when your sibling has a kid, you realize that, like, you're missing time with your family more because you just see the kid changing so much. Right. And it, like, it's just, I don't know, it's just different. Like, I miss my niece so much. And, like, I don't even know my niece that well. Like, I only got to spend a little bit of time with her so far. But, like, just seeing her grow up, it's, like, sad to, like, watch her, like, miss her first walk or, like, miss her first words. Or, like, now she's older and, like, can, like, talk a little bit. And then you kind of – it just shows you more, like, how fast time is going.
Micah, do you have baby fever?
Baby fever? Yes and no. I've always
wanted kids. Why would you? Yeah, but like not now. Why would you want a kid right now?
Well, where did you get that from? I'm talking about my niece. I want
to
see.
No,
my
I
niece.
Get that, but you talked to her as if. I mean, I don't know. Maybe we're not a type of family, like, but I've never been like my. I need to see my niece. Like I need. Maybe you guys may be closer than us. I don't know, but like you.
No,
it's
no,
almost
no.
A speaking,
but you've
like,
never had a niece.
Yeah, I have. I have like three.
No. No. Like,
oh, I have a cousin. What am I talking about? I don't have a niece. Good
right.
Point.
Like, Joe has a kid, and then you see that kid. It's just different. I never thought I would be like that. But, like, I love my little niece. She's so cute.
Dude. I don't want any kids anytime soon because, like, the volleyball career. Hey, I have a question. I'm going to throw a question out to you guys. Let's say if a girl, because I think who is it? Who on the women's team is expecting now? Who is it? It's one of the setters, right?
Carly Lloyd. With Riley.
So what happens like when what happens to your career? Like you're kinda at the prime of your career around there. What happens when you have a baby? Like I was kinda
it's probably
thought
so
about
much
this.
Different with a boy than a girl, dude.
No, I meant like on your coming back from that. You saw like with Serena Williams and whatnot, like how like that's gotta be like so much harder to come back. Like, you know, I mean the guys have it a lot easier because obviously we're not getting pregnant, you know.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's way different for us.
I don't know. It's like
bored and like you're probably emotionally drained and stuff, but like you're not able to play, you know?
Yeah, that's true. So much harder to come back from that.
Yeah.
So we want to kind of get into our next segment. Two episodes ago, we took a break from it because it was my birthday and we kind of celebrated with stories, but we kind of got into the beginning of our volleyball career. Joe, I know we want to kind of get into kind of the middle of our volleyball career and then hopefully wrap it up by the end next episode. But we are in the middle of our career here talking about what kind of got us here and some crazy stories that we may have.
Yeah, well, I like you said, we want to get into this two episodes ago, but we had more important things to do. And so, like, really the meat of today's podcast is going to be kind of focused around our own development and stuff that we can give advice on and things that we recommend maybe you don't do growing up in terms of and how we are raised. I think it's really interesting because the way in which all three of us are raised is very unique and different than even teammates that I've had and I currently have. The style in which our parents parented, the ways, just the type of friends we have, I think just in general, the way we grew up was very different. And I think it's cool. And a lot of people always really talk about how they really enjoy the stories I know from Micah for sure. Like, I always hear people talking about his childhood and how cool that was. And then for Gage and I, we have some really great stories. And really, I wanted to get in. You know, I said this last time. We have Micah. He's a six-time junior national champion. That means he won a six-time, right, Micah? Or did I miss? Are you seven? 12, 13,
no, I think 14, that's right,
15,
yeah.
16, 17, 18. You're a seven-time national champion. I miscounted that. You won the national championship seven times. Seven.
Oh, they won, yeah.
Including every. He's the only player in the history of the United States of America to win every single division. So we're just going to jump right into it, Micah. Micah, I want you to give me the number one reason why you think you had so much success as an athlete and as just in general, I think as a person, like you, really special person, most people would say. What is the number one thing that you could pick out for why you grew up to be such an amazing athlete, person, in general?
Oh, shut up. Gosh, why have I had so much I guess the question is, like, why have I had so much success athletically?
Yeah, yeah. Well, athletically and just in life in general. I think, like, your story, like, the way you were raised, really, you know, people talk about, like, oh, I'm going to raise my team, I'm going to raise my son to be both a great athlete and a great person, but I don't think they truly mean it. But for you, I think that definitely turned out to be the case in the way that your parents raised you.
No, thanks, bro. Thank you. And I'm sure they're going to freaking appreciate that. I think, well, athletically, what's helped me a lot, at least in volleyball, was just like, just a system. Like in the junior levels, we had such an amazing system that everyone bought into. And everyone was really, really selfless about it. And went like the team mattered the most, and which is really rare to find. And I think the system carried us through all of those championships with Kualakoa, because we weren't the most talented. Like, you guys don't really let me get away with that, but I think we weren't very talented.
Clearly,
I think we weren't the most athletic, but we had the best system, and like we had the most trust in our system. Not even our abilities individually, but like in our team, we had so much trust that. That's what made that team extremely special. What's up?
Yeah, I definitely don't agree with you on the most athletic or gifted. You guys got three or four people in the national team, Jim. Now you can say,
no, but
you guys, listen. I'll say this. You guys had the three guys. I mean, I'm going to include Skylar in this too, right? You got four guys, some of the best all-around players, if not the best all-around players in the nation, right? You guys might not bounce the highest. You guys might be the best blockers, but all around as a whole, you guys are the best. Like that's by far.
Yeah,
you can't say you're not talented when you have three guys in the national team, Jim. You have three guys in the national team, Jim, and you can't say you're not talented.
Okay, no, okay. We were talented, but the two other guys are liberos, so it's not like we were like...
Yeah, but they did it all.
They were also outside hitters.
They're some of the best outsides in the nation, though, still.
No, for sure. No. Okay, Tui was something special.
So was
Evan.
I think
Tui is the greatest. No, for sure. But I think Tui's the greatest he's the greatest junior player of all time, and it's not even close.
Really?
Like, this – oh, my God, it's not even close. For how dominant he was from 12s, like, since he was 12 years old, this guy was MVP of everything. And he would get us kicked out of 18-year-old women's tournaments because they were scared of, like, just Tui. This guy was incredible, man. He was as big as he is now.
So you guys literally. Wait, no, sorry. Continue.
Yeah,
continue.
Yeah. They had to tell us that we couldn't play in the 18 girls tournaments anymore because there was no other boys teams in our age.
Yeah.
So we had to play in girls tournaments, and then they kicked us out because they're like, you guys can't play with Tui. You guys can play if Tui doesn't play, but we're like, we only have like seven guys.
Right.
So we're like, no, he has to play. But
Micah.
Yeah, continue.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
There's one in thousands of teams that are able to win at a level that you are. Like, if a coach coaches, he's lucky to have one season where he wins a championship in his life. And like, that's like the most memorable thing. I mean, I'm sure you've been a part of teams where you haven't, you just felt like it wasn't successful, whether it's on the court or it's off the court. Like, you just like, right. I mean, I've even had seasons where maybe you didn't perform exactly how you wanted to be, but in general, it felt like you feel good about it. What is the key difference between the seasons where you felt that, like, this is it, like, this, like, this team just, like, has it? I think that, like, that it factor those other teams. Like, what is the thing that you, the first thing that jumps out, or maybe a couple things that jumps out?
Yeah, okay. With Kualakua, it was every year was the exact same, which is really odd because we did have some changes, but with that team, we were so close and, like, we'd played together for so long that, and we were so steady, just super steady, not up and down. If you ever watch us play, you realize, like, we literally wouldn't cheer. We wouldn't talk. Like, that was kind of our motto. That was kind of our, like, not motto. That was kind of our MO, was just, like, to just be very business-like. And so those teams are different. But outside of those teams, for UCLA and for, like, even USA teams or some teams that I've been on, I'd say the number one thing where I'm like, this is good, this is going to be a good team, would be trust. That'd be the number one.
How do you recognize that? How do you recognize that?
Oh, gosh. Okay. I think you can recognize it at any time in the season. I think some teams, it can be pretty, like, pretty early on. You can feel a certain trust or a certain, like, relationship with guys that you trust them on the court and off the court. Or it can come through time and through experiences where, like, you've been in a few hard times on the court. You've been in a few times, a hard times off the court. And through that, you've gained trust in your teammates. So it can come at any time. And I guess the other part of that question was how does it come?
How is that developed?
I think it comes either really quickly in really, really, really difficult moments, or it comes over a long period of time through just slowly gaining trust in, like, your everyday actions and just, like, showing up every day and working hard or putting yourself behind others in a certain way, like putting the team first or putting someone else in front of you, whether it's, like, something as small as, like, opening a door for your teammates or, like, just always in service to other people.
Yeah.
Those small little actions as well can earn trust. But, those are the two ways that come to mind in order to earn that kind of trust that I'm talking about.
Micah.
And you hit a point that we haven't really talked about. Like, in a season, successful or unsuccessful, you can always really point to one, sometimes even more, really turning points in a season that dictate where that season's gonna go. Like, whether it's in a match or sometimes it's outside of a match. Like, there's breakdowns outside of a match or off the court that really can be detrimental to the team. I know at Hawaii, for example, at my junior year, I handled a situation really poorly. A lot of guys, a lot of people know that, Kate, like, after my junior year, we had guys transfer to UCLA, and Brandon Rattray and Austin Matauti, and I didn't really handle the situation. When there was an issue that was brought
what
up
was the issue,
among
Joe?
The team, the
I don't remember.
So, well, I had heard that there was stuff going on off the court, and there had been talk about guys not happy with their position on the court, and really, like, at first it was really vague, the stuff I was getting, but it just wasn't good stuff, like, in general, like, stuff being told to other teams on campus, and just a lot of kind of, like, gossipy stuff that wasn't good and needs to be handled internally first before, like they need to come to leadership or coaches, like, it needs to be handled. And I was frustrated because I wasn't exactly sure who it was. And I went, because Milan always, like, I always know that he always has a good outlook on things, and he has actually a decent way of handling most situations. So I would go to him a lot of the times to speak about it. And I just told him, like, what I'd been, stuff I'd been hearing, how, like, a good way to handle the situation, because I wasn't sure exactly who at first it was coming from. And I actually came to find out that the coaching staff knew about a lot of stuff already, and they had kind of given me a direction with it. And I was kind of put in the middle of things between the coaches and players that were unhappy. I mean, obviously Austin, Brandon, they weren't happy. And they were kind of in the middle of that. There were other guys too. But I was really thrown in the middle between the coaches and the player. And it was just like a tough situation for me to be in because you don't want to burn either of those bridges, especially in the middle of a season. And we kind of had some really big matches coming up, and I was just, I put myself in the middle of it a little bit by going to Milan at first, and I wish I'd just gone straight to the team. But that's like Mike was talking about, in the middle of a season, you've got to be able to respond in those situations, and going out and speaking about it and gossiping about it and taking it external outside of the team, I think is the one thing. Like you see with the New England Patriots, if you reference it to football, that's why I think the success they've had, like they're so good at keeping things internal and really keeping it within the team and making everything about the team. And that's so important, I think, for teams to sustain success at a high level. I want to jump here actually to something that I had written down. In general, high school life, this is Gage and Mike, I want you to talk a little about this. High school life, a little bit as an athlete, but just in general, what was that like for you guys growing up? I think it's very different from most kids' experiences. And Gage has gotten into a little bit the past couple of weeks, but what did high school life look like for you guys in general? Why was it different? Why does it contribute to your success on and off the court?
Gage, you should go.
All right, I'll go first. So if you watch our latest episode, we have a clip on it on our YouTube about basically what my schedule was, right? The biggest thing, high school was different for me because I saw it as a stepping stone from college. I went to a high school, it was very privileged, right? It wasn't private school, right? But I went to a very privileged high school where everyone was like predominantly white I'm kind of in the Bay Area, so there's a heavy tech industry. So there's like pretty rich people around my area, right? And very stuck up people. So I moved from that, and I did not like – I had a very small friend group, right? Very small friend group. There was like four or five of us. All of us didn't either. We're from Oakland or from other places around the Bay that weren't kind of from there, because I didn't see myself as a Moraga kid. I saw myself as a person that moved to Moraga, which I did in the 10th grade, which is the town we're from, Moraga. So I kind of saw myself in a pool of just like people that I just didn't like at all. So I always saw – high school was a stepping stone for – I'm serious. Like, I remember I'd look at these kids and I'd be like – I was like, you think you're – I was like, bro, this guy thinks he's like the shit right here. And this guy's going to be like – give him 3 years when he goes to college. He's going to be an absolute nobody. Like, and that's kind of how I thought. I was literally pissed at these kids. No, you got to realize these kids were like rich assholes. And I was like, I hate every one of you guys. I didn't really talk to anyone. I would go around school with my hood on. I kid you not. No one believes me when I say this, but I get people on the phone that went to my high school. I'm saying, what was I like in high school? I don't say anything, and they say the exact thing. Put his hood on, wouldn't talk to anyone, kind of gave this F off kind of vibe kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And if someone come up to me, I'll talk to you. Like, I'm not going to be I'm cool with that, but like I'm not going to go out of my way to go like to go talk to someone, right? So I kind of saw it back to the stepping stone kind of thing. I was like, okay, use high school, use it. I was still kind of the crazy fun Gage with my friends, but use it as a way to get into college, right? And I was the best player on my team, right? I was the best player on my club and high school team. And so it was like one of those situations where it was like I knew I had a lot of tension on me and whatnot, but like that never really fazed me. So it also kind of learned, I mean, I'm not anywhere close to the attention I get at Hawaii now. But it just kind of went like that. I didn't really see high school as anything valuable. I hated it, and I don't mean to be a Debbie Downer, but I did not like anyone in my school. And I see them and I run into them. I'll say a word or two, but that's about it. So I kind of saw high school, again, as a stepping stone, but I came in with that mentality too. So I don't know. Maybe my perception is a little biased in a way.
Damn, okay. I loved my high school career. Like, yeah. It's probably been my favorite time of my life. I had super close friends. I played a bunch of sports, and I honestly didn't think about college until, like, I was at college. Like, I never – people would be, like, doing, like, college applications and all that stuff, and I was like, dude, I have no idea about what I'm going to do for college. And I chose UCLA, like, super – randomly. I'm not the normal person that went to UCLA where like I always wanted to go to UCLA and I thought it was a good school. I was so ignorant that I thought UCLA was a bad school because people told me it was a public school. And in Hawaii, a lot of public schools aren't the greatest. So I was like thinking, oh man, okay, yeah, I guess I'll go here because they gave me a good scholarship and my dad's like, yeah, let's go here. So I was like, okay, dad, yeah, I'll go there. It was pretty simple. My dad was like, yeah, let's go here. And I was like, all right, I'll follow. But my time in high school was incredible. Like, I still think about it all the time. I'm reminiscing about just doing stupid stuff and being with my friends and, I don't know, just playing a bunch of sports and not really caring about what's going on. Like you, Gage, my school was pretty, like, Punahou, there's a lot of rich kids, but that's kind of like the idea that it gets, or it's kind of more on the outside it looks like that, but nowadays there's a lot of people that come from pretty normal families, middle class, even lower class families, and so I did get along a lot better than I thought I would when I transferred there, with a bunch of people in my grade, and yeah, I still, those are my best, like, I love those guys.
So, I want to clarify some. I did not, like, high school days, I had a great, like, from the age of when I was a high schooler, like, 14 or 15 or, like, 18. Like, I had a great time. Like, but you got to realize, I was living, like, a triple or double life. Like, literally.
Right.
Like, I would, like, volleyball was my social life. And the friends that I saw, like I said, right, were, like, stupid. Like, I was living, like, literally a triple life, kind of. I would go to school. And then I'd go and have my work life and have my kind of facility life. And then I'd go, like, do, like, USA Volleyball or big club tournaments. So I was, like, living, like, three different lives all in one.
Right. But and who you were in high school was, like, the incognito, like.
Yes, exactly.
Not
exactly
to be insensitive, but I'm going to shoot up the school.
Bro, no, nothing like that, nothing like that. They knew I wasn't like that kind of vibe. No, but dude, let me. You bring up college applications, bro.
I wonder how much dude. People. If
we no, no, no one knew me. Everyone knew
Gage was gonna.
No, no one, no, no one thought that. They saw me just as the volleyball Jesus. Player.
Jesus,
dude. All right, let me. You talked about college applications, bro. Let me get into college applications here. Dude, my school was also a very, very smart school. Like, they were very smart, and they were very good.
It was
like
smart.
It was like a private school that wasn't a private school. Also very good at sports. So very good. Just a well-rounded school, one of the top schools in California. Now, dude, I had people, like, for example, my junior and senior year, they'd be at a table with me, right? And it'd be, like, people that I normally wouldn't converse with. Like, more, like popular people, all this kind of mixture. And they'd be talking, like, because we'd be at a lab or something in a class. And they'd be like, yeah, like, I have college applications. And then they'd be like, Gage, or, like, include me in the conversation because I hadn't been saying anything, like, on purpose. And they'd be like, yeah, Gage, like, what do you feel, like, college? I was like, yeah, I just going to commit somewhere and then just kind of fill my application out that way. And then they were like, well, yeah, because, like, you're an athlete, so you don't have to, like, try hard in school. Like, saying, like, kind of very, like, backhanded compliment, very, like, derogatory. I'm like, that lit me up, bro. Lit me the F up. I remember I turned to this girl, and I said, I was like, what'd you say? And she's like, oh, well, like, you just, like, you know, you have sports, you don't have to rely on that, and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, bro, I was like, well, you're out there freaking partying and doing all this shit, and you're out there, like, oh, doing this, having a social life, bro? I'm putting work in. So I work twice as hard as you do, ever. So don't give me this shit. Don't give me this shit about you. God. And her face went so red. There's another. And then I was just going into her. Oh, like, everyone in the labs were, like, God, looking at me. I was like, don't even give me that crap. Like, guess what? You have this little pretty princess life, and you're rich, driving your damn BMW down the freaking road, right? And I'm out here grinding every day. I was like, you could not do the shit that I do. You cannot do it. You'd be like, oh my God, I need a social, like, excuse my language, sorry, Mom. Get the fuck out of here. Get out of here, bro. And then there was this another kid in my class. He's like, and then he's an asshole. He's like one of the smart kids. And then he's like taking a test. And he's like, oh, he's trying to, like, I failed my test. Like, and he's next to me, and I just kind of hear him talking. He's like, I failed my test. And he's like, yeah, I failed my test. And I was like, and I looked, I was like, what grade did you get? And he's like, yeah, I got an A minus. He just wanted attention on him. He's like, I got an A minus. And I was like, yeah, we got an A minus. Like, I got to keep, like, oh, blah, blah, blah. And then I'm like, what'd you get on your test? He's like, oh, I got an A minus. It's like an F for me. I was like, bro, are you serious right now? I turned him in front of the whole class. I'm like, dude, shut the hell up. Shut the hell up. There's people in this class that actually, look, I'm not saying I was one of those. I wasn't. But I was like, there's people in this class who actually failed the damn test. Like, bro, I don't want to hear shit about, oh, I failed A minus. I was like, what percentage is that? What percentage? He's like a 92. I was like, is that a fail? What's a fail? He's like 50 or below. I was like, so you didn't fail. So shut the hell up. Dude, that was like the people that filled my, oh, I would literally go into people. And yeah, I would have no problem.
But Gage, at the same time, it's kind of like, that is his arena. So if he's not getting 100%, that's what he takes.
No.
And he does. No. There's games that you would say, oh, I played so bad, when a person that's not good at volleyball would be like, oh, my God. If they were to play that well, they'd be like, I played incredible. It's just different standards.
That is okay. That is okay. And I 100% get that. But I'm not going to yell at the top of my goddamn lungs, oh, to get attention. Like, I'm not gonna be like, oh, guys, I played so bad today, blah, blah, blah. I'm gonna keep it to myself. If someone says, it's like, don't, like, when you play bad, and someone says, hey, great game, like, in the back of your mind, you're like, I played horrible, but you just kind of take it. You're not like, oh, I played so bad, and, like, trying to get attention.
I'm just like that.
Like what?
If somebody was like, oh, you played great, I'm the first.
But you're not attention seeking. You're just like, no, I didn't play well. I just say thank you and I'm on my way.
I played so bad.
But you're not attention seeking. That's the difference. My school, my class, Campolindo High School, if anyone was wondering. I hated it. But I love my team. I did love my volleyball team. I loved all those guys. Those are my thoughts. But yeah, when you said college applications, bro, I got fired up. I was like, bro. I can name names, but I'm not going to name names. No need. Because no one knows them.
There's no need to use names.
One thing, dude, we played so many, all three of us have played on so many, like, crazy teams, crazy, crazy teammates. What's the craziest teammates you guys have ever had in your life? The craziest. I'll start with mine. There's this kid. I'm going to say a name similar to his. Let's just say his name, Jeffy. Or Hefe, right? He's a serving sub. I'm about 12 years old, right? And I just moved to California. I'm on this team. And he came in serving sub. And he's like one of those guys who comes in, tosses it, and just absolutely bombs it.
Respect.
No.
So much respect.
No. Like he doesn't have any, like, slower gear. He doesn't have a first gear. He's like in fourth gear constantly. On a four, like, it's always that. And he just goes in, and he's like, why am I missing? He's like, Michael Scott, I usually make those. Like, why am I missing? Like, I was like, bro, you're trying to hit a standing float serve at 70 miles an hour. What are you expecting out of this? Like, what are we doing here, buddy? I'm like, what do you expect? So we'd come in to serve. I'd be like, oh, God. Like, no, I love the kid. I love the kid so much. And what he would do, he'd come in. He'd be like, you know those kids who, like, do those super gnarly server routines? Yes. Like, three or four hits. Yeah. And then he focus. And then he has a standing float serve. And then one time, I remember, he just bombed it in the middle or, like, damn near under the net. And then he's just, like, looks so confused. And then he looks at his right hand, grabs it with his left hand, and he just looks at it and puts his hand in front of his face. He's like, why did you do this? And he starts blaming his hand in front of his face in the middle of a match. I'm like, bro, like, I just almost died laughing. One of the craziest teammates. And then I want to say one more story. This guy named Stephen Buell. We've all played with him. We've all had the teammate Stephen Buell. He was a middle. He went to Campo. He was a great friend of ours.
Well, tell him what his nickname is.
Crazy Steve.
There we go.
Right?
I don't know how this isn't number one, Gage. I don't know how he's not number one on your
list.
Dude,
okay, no. So, one time, all right, I can tell various stories from Crazy Steve. Some are not appropriate, but it doesn't matter because we say them anyway. But we're not going to get into that right now. That's a story for another time. I'll get into a kind of volleyball-based story. So, he goes to NAIA school in Missouri. So, he's in Missouri, right? And he was, I was like, so yeah, I got to talk to him last year. I was like, because he just graduated like 2 or 3 years ago. And I'm like, yeah, because he coached at Packard for a little when he came back. So I'm like, yeah, what was, like, kind of the weight program you guys had over there? He's like, bro, I kid you not, we did max out squats every day. Every day. I was like, and then he's like, and then we'd go in practice from 9 to 12, and then we'd wake up at 6 and then go max squat. I'm like, that can't be good, Steve. And then he's like, yeah, bro. And then I hurt my back. Like, I couldn't even move because we were maxing out squatting. He's like, I was jumping so high before that because we were just maxing out all the time. And then he's like,
I
hurt.
You should have seen me, bro. You should have seen me. I was
And then he said he hurt his back, right? He hurt his back, so he couldn't move. And then, like, he couldn't even, like, move. So he'd go to the trainer. And he's like, I need to do some rehab. He's like, I got you. And then for rehab, he did more max squats for the rehab.
He did not.
He did. He did. So his back got even worse.
Dude, imagine this weight trainer every day, like, I'm going to max squat today.
He said they, like, maxed out every day on, like, everything. I was like, oh, my God. Oh, man.
That is so ridiculous.
Oh, God.
That would be horrible to deal with. There's so many crazy teammates.
What about in Europe? You guys have some crazy, crazy Eastern Europeans. There's got to be some crazy stories you guys got over there.
They're not that – I mean, when you're, like, over here, these guys are – Just they're normal. Crazy, but they're not like that crazy, like that type of crazy.
I have some crazy teammates.
Let's hear it.
I'm trying to think of who's the craziest on our team right now. A lot of them are pretty inappropriate, which is what makes them crazy. But, gosh, I don't know, dude. It's just too inappropriate. It's too inappropriate. But there's been some crazy things happen over here. I think Joe might know some of the stories.
Yeah, there'll be something you can hit us up with.
Yeah, Micah. Well, his, I know. I'm trying to
search through them all the issues we've had.
Dude, your coach is like the funniest guy. Every time you tell me a story of that guy, I'm like dying laughing because I can just picture this guy like.
He actually might get in trouble right now because they caught him last game against Tour. Tour was wiping the floor like every time, and we hadn't wiped the floor once. And so in like the fourth set, like in a really important time, our captain goes down and tries to wipe the floor when after I think somebody missed a serve. And the people were like, no, like we're not going to go wipe the floor. And our coach comes and takes a water bottle and spills the water bottle, literally like dumps the water bottle. So it takes us like 20 minutes to wipe up all the water because it's like so much. And we had to like all gather around. We're all using our feet. The two girls with towels are both wiping for like 10 minutes and then they bring out a mop. And they just put on the Facebook page like a video zooming in and like circling our coach that's pouring like water in slow-mo on the court. so they think he might get a fine or something. But yeah, we love our coach. Our coach is legit. He's hilarious. He's always talking with the other coaches or the other players. It's hilarious.
Like talking trash or just
talking trash every game. So funny. He'll always look at the middle and yell at me like, Micah, like, set the middle. They have the worst middle of the league. He's so bad. Look at him. And he stands right at the court and just, like, and says it to the other middle, and he's laughing the whole time, though, which makes it way funnier because he doesn't say it, like, seriously. He says it literally, like, cracking up while he's saying it. He's, like, laughing. I'm like, and he's, like, oh, he talks more trash than any of us.
Oh, is he good? My, dude, that's so awesome.
Did he ever play with you guys at all or no?
Hilarious. No, he doesn't play with us.
Play with him, the head coach?
That's what Milan plays with us.
Yeah, not a head coach. I've never seen a head coach get in there and play.
Milan would definitely, if he's the head coach, still play with us.
All right, well, there's one more thing I want to hit here that I had on the notepad that was brought up to me a couple times before we get into the pick and when we sign off here. One thing I want you guys to share your quick opinion on, too. Beach volleyball being bad for athletes. I hear this so much from parents and coaches, particularly from people who don't live on the beach. Beach volleyball is one of best training things, especially during the summer, obviously. Like during the winter time, it's a little tough in certain areas. But beach volleyball, every single volleyball player, I can't tell you how many players I've played with like after high school that I'm like, whether it's in college or even pro, I'm like, dude, if these guys played beach volleyball, their skill sets, like, they could be making more money because they could be playing a different position, first of all. And second of all, like, their skill sets would just be so much more defined. There's so many pieces to beach volleyball that fine-tune and really, like, they put stress on, like, certain areas of your game. And there's, you cannot have a weakness, like, on the beach game at all. Like, there's no, you don't have the ability to have a weakness at all. You have to be strong in so many different areas. And you have to be able to have the court vision and create stuff. And the relationship setter to hitter, like, learning how to set from everywhere on the court. Like, there's so many pieces of the beach game that kids need to learn how to do. And I can't stand when I hear parents and coaches talk about how the beach game isn't beneficial to their athlete or it hurts their indoor game. Like, to me, that I don't think they coincide at all. I think the beach and the indoor help each other at the end of the day. Beach more so to the indoor, actually, I think. I don't know about what you guys think.
I mean, I've heard this definitely a lot of times. The only way it hurts is if they come on the court and then they start doing, like, let's say you're an outside hitter or right side or whatever, and you start just kind of doing jumbos and cuts and not as aggressive. That's the only time. And I've had those players.
Are you kidding me? Did you just like talk down on the jumbo?
Have you really hit a jumbo in a game consistently?
On the jumbo.
Is that like your main hit is a cutty or a jumbo? There's no way you're gonna be successful doing that.
Dude, the jumbo is the greatest volleyball shot.
Yeah, once in a while. I do the same thing, like, but not every ball is going to be a jumbo. Like, there's some kids out
there
who I watch.
No high-level volleyball with a jumbo award.
Exactly, there's no high-level volleyball. That's because they haven't reached there.
You need to come in with the intent to jumbo. And then after, you might have to find a different solution, but you need to come in with the intent to jumbo.
The intent to jumbo. I think that's going to be the name of our podcast right now. This episode, the intent to jumbo.
You need to come in with the intent.
The intent to jumbo.
I like that.
Micah, I'll say I want to see you hit one in a game. I want to see you send it on two this year and hit a jumbo to one of the deep corners. Like an actual jumbo, not a roll shot, a jumbo.
I'll give you $5.
Over.
I'm going up I'm going up and over in deep pocket, deep corner pocket.
I'll give you $5 if you do it.
All right.
I'll give you $10.
Dude, with beach volleyball, the only thing I could say that it might not help is if you're jumping back and forth a lot and you're a setter, it can actually hurt your hands a little bit, which is like if you have a tournament coming up and you're playing beach and you're like deep dishing a lot. For me, at least, I've had a hard time to, like, translate my setting in and out. Besides that, I don't know why people aren't playing beach. There's two people on the court, so obviously you get a lot more touches. It's a lot more ball control based.
Dude, any middle or oppo should play.
You even start to jump higher.
Oh, dude, you move quicker. Like, the game,
you move
like.
Quicker, you're training in the sand.
Dude, the game just being. The game obviously is slower on the beach, but it helps you just like see stuff a little more, and it like that just translates over.
Wait, who's telling you these people are saying?
I've heard this a lot of times.
I hear parents and coaches, not like close to me, like anybody close to me. Obviously, like anybody that's ever trained me or something, like I is very speaks high on the beach game. But I hear it a lot from parents. Like, should I get my kid on the beach? Like, I don't know. Like, can it affect their indoor game? And I. Like you were saying, the setting stuff, for sure. Like, if you're jumping back and forth, I 100% feel the same way. Like, and I actually realized my hands are more designed for the beach. Like the rhythm and the way, I don't know, the way I release the ball. Like, it's, like, way easier for me to release it on the beach. And so, but, like, 100% though, going back and forth, like, because on the indoor, that's what one thing I'm working on is just getting the ball out of my hands faster. And every time I go outdoors, it doesn't help me get better at that.
So not helpful for that.
So that was just something I had written down. Really quickly, though, we're going to hit the pick'em. We'll sign off here. We've been it was a long podcast today, but I think it was some meaty information. We have with the pick'em, Gage Worsley is still in the lead.
Yeah. Sorry, guys.
Micah picked up 0 points.
Nice.
We all missed on the German matchup. That was a big upset. Everybody was talking about that in the German league. Everybody's just like, Lüneburg is at home. They're like one of the toughest places to play at. They looked really good, and they just shat the bed.
Did Dude, my brother-in-law did not play well.
Straight up.
Just kidding.
Straight up. Like, I don't know what to say, but Lunenburg lost to Boole last week, so none of us picked him last week. And then the Tourcoix 3-0 victory really solidified Gate's win. Gate is still in the lead. We're going Moderna and Lube for this coming weekend. Big time matchup in the Italian League. We got Micah Christensen, the lone American, in this matchup. Obviously, these are two powerhouses in the Italian men's league. For anybody who isn't familiar with these two names, Moderna and Lube. Gage, you're the leader. You're going first. Let's hear it.
Lube 3-1.
Micah.
I'm following Gage, the leader.
Lube 3-1. All right. I'm going to go Lube 3-0. I'm taking a 3-0. I'm clean sweep. And then we got, this is very dependent on the situation in France. Obviously, here in Germany, for now, the league's going for France. We're not sure. We'll find out, I'm sure, later this evening and tomorrow. But we have Nantes and Cannes for this weekend. Decent matchup. It is in Nantes. And not just beat Tour last weekend, if I'm right. Tour or Chalmont? Is either Tour or Chalmont?
I think they beat Chalmont.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll pick first here. I'm gonna go ahead and take. I'm gonna go take Nantes 3-1. On their home court.
Okay, I'm gonna take. I'm gonna take Cannes 3-2.
Engage.
I'm gonna take Con. Not. I'm gonna take not 3-2, 3-0.
Nantes.
It's a little boring for you.
Gage, who plays for Nantes that made you so confident about that decision?
Yeah. Where'd you get that from?
Well, I talked to my boy Borat, and he's a big fan of the Nantes, so I'm gonna go with him. So that's where I'm going with.
All right, Gage, you have our last matchup for this week?
Yeah, number 1 and 2, Baylor, Texas. Actually, some American ball here. They're playing back-to-back matches. Baylor, number 2, they lost a match.
On the women's side, for anybody wondering, for those listening.
I wish they had a
women's
team.
College volleyball, Texas, Baylor. Who's home, Gage, do you know?
I believe it's Texas. No.
Texas home?
We're just going to go with Texas.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll pick first. I'm going Baylor 3-1.
I'm going Texas 3-2.
I'm going Texas 3-1.
Wow.
All right, and that wraps up the picks for this week. We have them locked in. We're going to be creating some sort of app or some way. We want to get our fans involved in these pick-ems eventually. So we are going to be I'm going to be figuring out a way to get this up on a site where we can start having fan picks too. Obviously, we're not allowed to gamble with these yet. We have to figure out, especially with Gage, we can't deal with any sort of money yet, but who knows, maybe down the road.
Talking about
We have a pick'em gambling site. Who knows? We never know.
There's a Vegas line, and then there's the out-of-system line.
The out-of-system line. We create our own line.
It's the out-of-system line.
Gage picks it, too. Gage has no idea who's on the...
And people are shocked that they just keep losing to this guy. He doesn't even know what's going on.
It's like one of the...
No idea who's on the team.
I'm just on a whole nother level. They just think I'm on a whole nother level of thinking. Turns out I'm just the biggest idiot. I'm just like a monkey choosing random stuff. But Joe, you talked about fan involvement. One thing we kind of want to talk or do with our fans is, again, get more involved with them, especially on this podcast. So we will be putting out. Well, first of all, we want you guys to contact us. Anything you guys need advice on, we are very big on trying to give any advice on anything. It can be volleyball, non-volleyball, romantic life, non-romantic life. It can literally be. Basically, just about anything you want to talk about, we'll soup
it
up. But
it needs to be taken with a grain of salt.
Yes.
It needs to be, yeah. Maybe you might not want to take.
I had a talk about this today with somebody about just like how anybody can just give advice nowadays, and everybody's looking to give advice on Instagram. Like people that I know, I'm like, why are you giving advice to people? Like, we got to figure our own lives out before we're over here singing kumbaya to people
exactly.
And telling them what they're doing wrong. Like, I think Instagram should make something where, like, the 50 closest friends around you need to vote and be like, should this person be able to, like, give advice and influence people? Or is this person just off their rocker and needs to, like, be told, just post pictures of yourself and what you're doing, but don't go over here preaching and... Because it's getting ridiculous. Everyone wants to be a freaking
influencer,
pastor slash professor, and I'm like, guys.
Well, we definitely
have ourselves out.
Well, we all three had definitely have ourselves out, and we are very, very smart individuals.
Yeah, we have everything in order.
Micah,
you should definitely listen to us. We have everything in our lives.
No one would vote for us.
All
the 50
of our ducks
friends would,
in a row.
Yeah. But. We'll probably put a story out or put a post out about this, so comment or please DM us if you want to keep it private. Do all three. Do whatever you feel. We're going to answer those advice. You'll be on the show. If you want us to use your names, we can, but if not, no worries. Another thing is we're going to be kind of – well, I'm not going to exactly announce what it is, but two more kind of talking pod video podcasts will be announced very, very shortly. We're going to have more of a female role. It's going to be still out of system, and we're going to have more of an international role in both these podcasts. So I want you guys to kind of stay alert.
Are you going to be joining this one?
No. It'll be two separate podcasts. We might be guests on those shows occasionally or once in a while, but they're still part of our system. But it is not if you can't handle the heat. It'll be different, so stay tuned.
Wow.
I know. We're growing here. We're growing out of system. But keep in mind, if you can't handle the heat, get out of the goddamn kitchen. This has been another episode of Can't Handle the Heat, presented by Out of System. Boys, thank you so much for joining us today.
Aloha.
Sheesh.